But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain. And that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is, let me make sure I got everything started and running here. Okay, we're doing good. It is the 19th of January, and it's a Monday. Hope you guys had a good weekend. A lot of stuff went on this weekend. There's no shortage of things to talk about, for sure. And probably before we do anything else, one of the most important things that we want to talk about, and one of the most tragic here is the death of David Crowley. For those of you that have been keeping up with the movie that's supposed to be coming out here in the Gray State, from the trailers and the YouTube videos and all stuff, it looks like it's going to be an absolutely awesome movie. However, they were having a lot of trouble with finances and budget and stuff, and that's why it's one of the reasons it took so long. The other reason is I think people were scared of it. It was, I think, for the same reason that Jericho was not continued, when it ended at a perfect place to continue on, either with another season or, you know, whatever. It was wide open, and I think it was fully intended to keep going. But I think it scared people. I think it scared the wrong people, and they put an end to it. And I think Gray State scared the wrong people. And they claim that David Crowley, that this was a murder-suicide. It was him, his wife, and their child. I think it was a little girl, if I remember right. But anyway, they said it was an apparent murder-suicide. However, in a couple of different stories that I found, they said that the back door, or a sliding door or something, was slightly ajar, and didn't appear to be normal. I think that there's a good chance that these people were Vince Fostered, although I'm a little reluctant to think that the kid would have been involved. It looked like they would have found Crowley out by himself somewhere, but I guess I wouldn't put it past him, I guess. But you know, we don't know what exactly happened. There'll be more on it later. Evidently, they've been dead since before Christmas. Somebody, one of the neighbors, come up there and finally realized that the same lights were on day and night, and they hadn't seen anybody for quite a while. And so they'd been dead probably close to a month, evidently. So it was a pretty ugly thing to find. So the future of the Gray State right now is in limbo. The website, they say, is going dark for the time being until they decide what they're going to do with it. I hope that I wish Clint Eastwood or somebody that had some money would come in there and get a hold of this thing and do something with it. From what we've seen, it looks like a great show, but I think it's a show that they do not want us watching. So we'll see. See what happens. Let me see who all is in the chat room. Chat room's a little slim tonight, looks like. Well, I guess it's Martin Luther King Day. Everybody's taking the day off, evidently. I don't know what's going on here. Well, anyway, we're gonna continue to march here. But one of the things that I need to say, matter of fact, I'm gonna wait here for probably till the bottom of the hour. I have a very important announcement to share with you. I need to wait. There's some other people that should be coming on here shortly. So I want to wait. There's an announcement that may affect some of you. And I will put that out right after the break at the bottom of the hour. So stick around for that. Now, before we go on with other news, got a couple things. You know, I always try to report on our classes coming up. This coming Saturday is our Counter-Strike class. Great class, a lot of fun. And I want to call it a hand-to-hand self-defense class, and it is, I guess, in a manner of speaking. But it's a class that is for absolute, when somebody thinks hand-to-hand, they think, oh, wow, this is going to be very physically demanding. I got to be strong. I got to be fast. I can't do it if I'm overweight. And that is just exactly the opposite of what we're doing with this class. We want everybody to take this class. I don't care how old, how overweight, how young, how physically challenged you are. If you're not, you know, there's things that you, even in a wheelchair, If you can move your hands, you know, there's things that anybody can do. So if you're physically challenged in some way or something, this is the class to take. We spend a lot of time on expedient weapons, and we want to show you how to injure or disable somebody. You know, we don't care about killing them. We don't care about, you know, beating them to a bloody pulp or anything. What we want to do is you disable them and or disarm them and give you enough time to safely get away. That's the whole idea behind Counter-Strike. how to break a number of holds, you know, the most common holds where somebody would grab a kid or a woman or anybody as far as that goes. And so it's a neat class. It's not terribly physically demanding. We can tailor it for anybody that shows up. Well, not shows up because you have to pre-register, but for just pretty much any problem that you may have. So that's why I hesitate to say hand-to-hand class. We have some Arizona concealed carry classes coming up here. I know that doesn't have anything, no big interest to most of you on the chat room, since most of you are scattered around the country. But the few that are in Arizona and they've listened to the archives, the podcast and whatnot, we'll be starting those either on the 31st of January or the 7th of February, one or the other. We got some other things we're trying to juggle around and figure out how we're going to get everything fit in there. And then on the 27th and 28th is another Battlefield Medic class held right here in Vernon. And that class is a little over half full right now, so if you're interested in getting in that, you better get with us here pretty quick. All right. There, Mountain Shooter, you know what? Let's talk about that a minute. Let's spend just a second on that. And this is not directed towards Mountain Shooter or anybody else, but he did remind me of this. Most of you on the chat room now are of the belief that something is about to happen. Something is in the air. And most everybody that listens to the Shooting Bench has a pretty strong belief that we're not far away from there. If you are of that mindset, I don't see how that you could believe that you're going to be able to get through this and fight the good fight, whether it's to simply stay alive, to survive, or whether you're going to go out and help to try to save your country and the Constitution. Either way, I don't see how that you think you're going to do it sitting behind a computer monitor eating Twinkies. If you feel like you're overweight, however much, then you need to work on that. You're going to become a liability to anybody that you may befriend here as part of a group or a team. If you belong to a militia or a prepper group or something like that, you're going to be a liability for all of them. If they're smart, they'll kick you out. Because you can't drag down the whole team for one person. This is going to be a very, very hard thing for people to do, but you need to do it. You need to think about however you intend to lose some of that weight. Part of it will be from what you eat. Part of it will be for your activities. You're going to have to sacrifice something. You're going to have to sacrifice some of your free time that you set on your butt behind the computer or play games or watch TV or movies, and you're going to have to get out and go do something. You're going to have to sacrifice some of those Twinkies and some of that fudge and some of those brownies and donuts and lasagna macaroni and cheese, whatever the case may be. You need to start thinking about that. I did. I had started, of course, I took a little bit of a downturn over the holidays, starting Thanksgiving. I got it all. I gained, I don't know, 4 pounds or something like that over Thanksgiving, got rid of it right away. And then over Christmas, I was 6 or 7 pounds up, and I pretty well got rid of that again. So, but it is important to me. Because of my family, because of my group, because of my own health and well-being, and my own safety. if that's the case, Northwest Heavy, that's great news. I'm glad to hear that. Working out in the field now. And Hopper, yeah, that's kind of a harsh way to put it, but you know, fatties will be left behind. We cannot jeopardize the entire group because somebody can't keep up. It's one thing if you have somebody with one leg or in a wheelchair or whatever, or too old. That's a little bit of a different story. If you are so overweight that you can't keep up, this is a choice that you're making. And if you choose, some people think, well, you know, that's I feel good. Some people are happy when they're overweight. That's fine. You're going to be happy sitting here by yourself when you get left. So, you know, for your own safety, for your own health, and for the security of your family or your group, I would highly suggest that you work really hard to get rid of some of that. Now, if you think you don't need to, then I want you to put on about a 30 or 40 pound backpack and get a weapon of some kind, preferably a M1 Grand, an M1A, or something that weighs 10 pounds. And I want you to take off and find you a little bit of a grade there, and I want you to go just as hard as you can go, however fast you think you can make a couple of miles. Go a mile out and a mile back. See how long it takes you and do not stop. If you can do that, then you're probably not too far behind. But if you have a hard time getting that done and you feel like you're going to fall out and you have to stop in 2 miles with a 30-pound backpack on, you ain't ready. Now, some of us are going to be carrying backpacks a whole lot heavier than that. Some of us will be carrying, for those of you that have young kids, they may not be able to carry all their stuff. Of course, they're going to have to carry some unless they're crawling. You know, if they're able to walk, they can carry a little bit of their own stuff. If nothing else, you know, water and a jacket or something. But you're going to have to carry, you know, if you got to take Granny with you, you're going to have to carry her stuff in addition to your own. You may have that in a duffel bag or something like that so you can pass it off. You know, each of you can carry it for a while. You know, the husband carry it for a while, the wife carry it for a while, the oldest son carry it for a while, whatever. But you're going to have to do that. So, you know, whatever your weakness is, you need to think about, you know, these people say, oh, I am so all about liberty. Rah, rah, rah. I'm here to fight. I'm going to do that. And then you can't put on that 40-pound backpack and make 2 or 3 miles with it. Then you're full of it. You're not as all about it as you think you are because you're not going to be able to help. You're not going to be able to do anything. If you smoke and you smoke enough that it affects your ability to do that, you need to think real seriously about throwing them in the trash. That's about right. That's me. I can do 2 miles pretty quick. I didn't think get out of the pickup after that, but no, I can do 2 miles actually very easily. I went on a hike with the young women of our church here. When was that? Kelly, when was that? You remember? When I went with you on that hike, it was last summer sometime. Something like it. And we did, what did we do? 7 miles in, right? And that was with everything. That was with our tents, food, water, everything to stay for. We stayed just one night. Yeah, we stayed two nights, didn't we? No, we stayed one night. So we stayed one night and came back the next day. And we did 7 miles in and about 5 miles back out. So we did 12 miles altogether. And didn't have any problem doing that. So anyway, think about it. Think about how you're going to be able to. You need to be an asset to your team and your family, not a liability. So think about that a little bit. Let me do another. Let's see. I think that was all that I was thinking about. Figure out just real quickly. Get your backpack figured. If you don't have a good quality military grade or commercial backpack, you need to get one. You don't need these recreational grade Walmart backpacks. They're not going to last any time. Get a, you know, there are oodles and gobs of the old Alice packs out there. I don't care what anybody says. I still like the Alice packs. I don't have one. Yeah, I do have one. I have two of them still. I don't use them anymore because of the newer, some of the newer Camelbacks and stuff. Great, great items, but I still don't have any problem with the old Alice pack. If you pack it right, it's still not too bad. So those are cheap. You can get those and a frame for around $50. They're all over the place. There's thousands of them out there. And if that's a reasonable price, it's very reasonable. It's cheap. Some of these Camelback packs are $200 and $300. So for a $50 for a good rugged heavy duty medium size Alice pack, not a bad price at all. The large Alice packs are not for the smaller people. The large ones you can put a ton of stuff in, but the medium will do most anything anybody needs for the average person. You might include a vest, whatever ammo you're going to carry. Most people carry between 180 and 240 rounds, 250 rounds. I know some that carry as much as 300. And I don't know anybody that carries any less than 180. The requirement for our group is that you have a minimum of 200 available all the time, and that should be able to be carried on you if you are called out. So kind of use that for your a guideline there for you. There's not a, you know, you're not doing yourself an injustice, or, you know, if you're not following the rules, so to speak, because you kind of make up your own mind what it is you need to carry, for your own, purposes. But think about some of the suggestions that other people leave as far as ammo, knives, camping stuff, whatever, food, first aid stuff. And, figure out what you need to do. Whatever the case is, get that figured out. Get you a decent quality pack. Put it on and go a couple of miles. You know, fact is, if we have to move, we may have to make, you know, depending on your terrain and how discreet we have to be, we may have to make anywhere between 5 and 20 miles a day. You know, individuals or people that are well trained, in good shape, you can do much more than 20 miles a day. But for the average housewife out there, 20 miles a day is going to be pushing it awfully hard. And for some of you guys that are not up to snuff there, 20 miles is going to be a hard day for you. So think about that a little bit. Work on that 2-mile deal and see if you can get that done in a reasonable amount of time. I'd say give yourself, for the first time with backpack and everything, don't push it too hard. You should be able to give yourself a half hour. That's pretty generous. Give yourself a half hour, completely loaded out, 1 mile out, 1 mile back. Give yourself a half hour to do it. And if you can do that somewhere around that period of time, then you're not in as bad a shape as a lot of folks out there. Because I know a hell of a bunch of people that couldn't put on a backpack and make 500 yards right now. if that's you, folks, you better think about your family. Think about what a liability you are. Think about your family being compromised, whether it's whether they are injured, killed, or captured because of you. You need to think about that. See where you're at. All right, let's look. We can get rid of that now. You know, the ATF's having a hard time making up their mind what they want to do. They have reversed their decision now. As of 2 days ago, Friday, they have issued an open letter to gun owners now, making a whole bunch of gun owners felons. They have released a new letter indicating that they reversed their stance 180 degrees and clarifying that those who use their, what was that brace made? That was made by SIG, I think. Anyway, the SB-15 arm brace that they put on their AR-15 pistols. If you use that as a stock, if you put that up to your shoulder and fire it, and somebody sees you, you will be committing a felony and are liable to be prosecuted. The arm braces are made by SB Tactical. The braces are, they attach the AR-15 pistol. There's some use the arm brace due to, you know, not having enough strength in their wrist or their arm to hold it up and shoot it effectively. So they put that brace and it kind of makes it one integral unit, so to speak. So, but some people actually put the brace up to their shoulder and shoot it as an SBR, a short-barreled rifle. Not short-barreled, but short, well, yeah, it would be. And so the rules that govern this kind of stuff, they can still be classified as pistols. Putting the stock on doesn't change anything. What certain firearms are classified as rifles or pistols, it's absurd. It's absolutely insane. It's ridiculous. It's beyond comprehension for the average person there. But still, those wanting to avoid prison time should understand that the ATF considers what the ATF considers a pistol and what they consider a short-barreled rifle. So, if you put that stock up to your shoulder and shoot it, you will be, if you do not have a tax stamp for it, then you're committing a felony. They can't seem to make up their mind. This has gone back and forth here several times, but here's the letter. This is the open letter that clarifies their position here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's very long, longer than we need to spend time on here. But Firearms Ammunition Technology Division, ATF, has received inquiries from the public concerning the proper use of the devices marketed as stabilizing braces. Let's see. These items are intended to improve accuracy by using the operator's forearm to produce stable support for the AR-type pistol. They previously determined that attaching the brace to a firearm does not alter the classification of the firearm or subject the firearm to NFA control. However, this classification is based upon the use of the device as designed. When the device is redesigned for use as a shoulder stock on a handgun with a rifle barrel under 16 inches in length, the firearm is properly classified then as a firearm under the NFA, the National Firearms Act. NFA defines a firearm in relevant part as a shotgun having a barrel less than 18 inches in length, a rifle having a barrel less than 16 inches of length. That section defines both rifle and shotgun as a weapon designed or redesigned, made or remade, and intended to be fired from the shoulder. So that's what happens when you put the shoulder the arm brace on and put it up to your shoulder, you're turning it into a short-barreled rifle. So there's some news you can use. The Hopper, it doesn't specifically talk about the stock attachment for a revolver. However, I think with this announcement now, I think that I think they can use that to. I think they can use that against you in any circumstance when you take something and put a brace on it. You know, they have these arm braces for Glocks. I don't think it's going to make any difference. It specifically names this one, but I think even if you went to court and happened to win, how much is it going to cost you to do that? In time, you're probably going to wait for your court date in jail. I wouldn't chance it for nothing in the world. There's a limit there somewhere to this "I will not comply" stuff. You can get stupid with it and wind up being and not being able to participate in the festivities when things start happening. If you want to push that not complying stuff to the limit and wind up in prison or financially devastated because of your decisions, I don't think that's probably the wisest thing that you could do. I think that you can fight a little smarter. Sometimes it's not always what we want to do, but sometimes it's what we need to do so that we can remain in the fight and not compromise other things. So, let me go back up to the chat room here a little bit. B2, I see that. Challenge accepted. Very good. Glad to hear it. DeTinker, you know, I can do, I don't know how many miles a day I can do right now. I did 7 miles over pretty rough terrain and with a bunch of, you know, 13, 14-year-old, 15-year-old girls. And we did stop several times. If I hadn't had to stop, you know, with them, I figured over that kind of terrain, I figure I could do 12, probably 12 miles, 10 to 12 miles over that kind of terrain. Out on the road, you know, or more friendly terrain, I don't know. I don't know what I could do nowadays, but I will tell you that I do have some knee problems, and if that knee goes out, that is going to put a tremendous damper on what I can do. All of us can only do what we can do. If you are physically challenged, whether it's knees, something, if you're just simply fat, that is a challenge that you can do something about. If you got bones and joints and stuff that just don't work right anymore, bad back, something like that, we can't do anything about that. We have to do the best we can. We have to be able to, you know, I don't expect y'all to leave somebody behind because they can't keep up when they have those challenges. You need to make some other, you know, plans ahead of time as to how you're going to deal with that. If you're just overweight, if you are approaching obese, or if you are obese, then that's a decision that you've made. And it would be hard enough to deal with if you're a liability because of things that's beyond your control. If it's things that you can control, that would be tough. At least I would think so. It'd be tough to live with that, knowing that you could have done something about it. The mini, you know, a lot of people say that. How can a letter from the ATF be law? It doesn't matter how it can. It doesn't matter whether it's legal. It doesn't matter anything. The fact is, that's the way it is. And if they rule that, then that's the way it's going to be. We can argue that it's not a law. That's the thing we'll have to fight in the court. You can say, "I will not comply with that," and you're going to wind up a convicted felon and in jail. So you're going to have to figure out what it is that you, you know, how you're going to fight that fight. So, let me go down through here real quick. It's break time, and I need to go down through here and check and see what the chat room's doing. And then I got to take a break real quick. All right, I don't see anything that I need to take care of there. So stay with me here just a minute, and hang on a minute. All right, here we go. All right, stand by here.
You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out.
Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Protected by the good Lord and a gun. You show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here.
People gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
And the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, we're back. Sorry about that. We've got, hang on a minute. We've got, okay. Do what?
Are any of you guys computer people?
Okay. We're trying to get another computer up and running. We have some guests that are trying to listen here. And they wanted to get caught up on what we were talking about. And we were had the ATF discussion. We're talking about people in your group that may be overweight or have some issues that are could voluntarily be fixed. So you guys are going to have about a 45 second delay in there. Okay, now then, I told you right after the break, and I need to check and see if there are certain people in here. Let's see. Okay. I told you that I had a story I needed to tell you about. It's not actually a story. It's an issue that I wanted to share with you here. And it has to do with, let me get all the stuff up to date here right now. Okay, now, you see a lot of stuff on Facebook. There's a lot of crap out there that is, people seem to be, they seem to want to get the fight going here prematurely. I think in their own mind, they would like to, maybe they think this is going to be exciting in some way. It's going to be somehow romantic, fun to do this. Let me tell you, in no uncertain terms right here, it's going to be neither. If you think this is going to be fun, or if you get involved with it and you feel like it's fun, then you are one sick SOB. There's something wrong with you. Mentally, you are two fries short of a happy meal there. So, with all that being said, there's a lot of people on Facebook and some of these other social media things that are spreading false information, whether it's purposely to try to get something going. They want to feel included. They want to feel tough. They want to feel like they're somebody, like they're important. There's so much crap out there. So I've heard through another source. The source is reputable, and I trust him. But I don't know how well I trust their source. Now, it doesn't mean that their source, firsthand. You after you get two or three or four sources here, you know, passed around two or three or four times, it gets to be diluted to a point that a mountain shooter, you know, that's not a bad idea. We may do that here soon. Mountain shooter suggested we do a militia show here again pretty soon. We might just do that. Okay. What has come to my attention here in the last few days, someone has said that there was a large operation mounting against militia, and everybody at the Bundy Ranch was going to be classified as, you know, put on a terror list, terror watch list. And that's fine. We already figured that, and we, you know, that's not anything really new. What is new is that there's claims that different federal agencies, including DHS, were mounting an operation against militia or some of the militia leaders. Considering where this came from and the people that said it and how they said it, I didn't want to just discount it right away. But apparently, and this I say apparently, because I don't know how much, if any, of this is remotely true. However, from the people that it came from and everything, it seemed that that it would bear watching and entertaining the notion that it might be real. So, with this operation supposedly mounting here in Nevada, Texas, Arizona, and Utah, we told some of the key people around there, and apparently, according to this source, they found out that we found out and have moved the date up to 2 weeks from now. Now, if this is, I really don't think that there's any truth to this. However, let me tell you what's going on. In the Arizona area, there's supposed to be a task force being put together, and there are some things. Actually, there's some BLM activity going on down near, you know, north of Phoenix, that is a little concerning, but I don't think it has anything to do with us. If you'll remember, when you saw the videos of the feds being backed down at Bundy Ranch, and they backed up and left, the one that was standing at the fence talking with Ammon Bundy, his name was Daniel Love. Daniel Love, I don't believe, was a BLM agent. I believe he was a contractor. I believe these contractors were hired to go in there and do what contractors do, and it just didn't work out for them. I think they were trying to throw their weight around, and it got they got spanked over it, and they were not happy about it. So, if any of this information that we're hearing is true, Daniel Love is going to be running the operation here in Arizona. Like I said, I don't, I really don't believe any of this is true, but if it is, I already know beyond any shadow of a doubt, and I can absolutely prove it, I know that there is at least one federal agent that listens to my show. So if that is the case, then once again, they're going to know that we know, and or that we suspect, and so we'll see how it plays from there. But to be honest, I think this was more, not that we're not you know, on a little bit higher elevated alert status right now, but I think that this was fabricated by somebody that wants to think they're important, or wants everybody else to think they're important, trying to get a few feathers in their cap. So I don't think that it's anything to be scared or concerned, worried about. but I'm not sure at this point yet that it's something that you need to completely ignore. So we'll keep you up to date as we, if we hear anything more about that. So anyway, let's move on here to a couple of other things. I got so many other things to talk about here. So let's see. This is a good one, and this has to do with something that we talk about all the time. There's a couple in Arkansas that have had their 7 homeschooled children taken away because the father, allegedly, they say, used an unapproved mineral supplement. Now, there's a brand new update to this, but let me tell you the original story first. Apparently, they had heard, somebody has it out for this family. And CPS came and checked to see, you know, how the kids were doing, and they got there and found out that, you know, nothing wrong, you know, the kids are fine, they're being, you know, they said they were outside barefooted and everything, and so what? You know, the kids, in their own words, when they come and checked on them, said, we like going out. We'd rather go out there barefoot. We don't like shoes. So they said that was fine. Well, apparently the CPS agent may have seen something that concerned her. And they, or maybe she, let's see, maybe it was a, well, I don't remember, but anyway, they came back, they asked the man and the woman to step outside so they could talk to him. It was cold, they wouldn't let him get a jacket, and at that point, they did have a warrant, too. And so that becomes a point there. What do? You have 7 kids. You're not completely dressed to go outside, and 12 or 13 carloads of law enforcement has pulled up here, and you're wondering, what do you fight? Well, some of you may say that you're going to, but that would be certainly a suicide. What do? Do you allow yourself to be taken? Do you allow and let your kids you know, fend for themselves, be raised by the state? What do? Well, probably in most instances, they did the smart thing. They went outside. They were promptly handcuffed and arrested. Why? Well, as I said a while ago, because the father was taking this miracle mineral treatment that was supposed to be a cure for cancer and AIDS. And is that this was the center of the law enforcement search warrant. The family said they cried foul over it, saying the father was the only one taking it, and it's mostly used for purifying water for their garden. What does this, hold on just a second. This sounds a whole lot like colloidal silver. It is, they're using it to purify water, they're using it as a cure for cancer, and they say it's a mineral supplement, yet they don't come out and say colloidal silver. Why aren't they saying what it is if it's a mineral supplement? But it sounds to me, now it also could be this MMS stuff. So I'm not sure which it may be, but whatever it is being used by thousands of people in hundreds of countries for a variety of things safely, but the FDA has not blessed it yet, so they are arresting people for it. So that is definitely right there some news you can use, because we need to be aware that they're going to make every effort to take some of us down in one fashion or another. We don't know. Anyway, this guy now, Daniel Smith, has been... hold on, let me see if this is the same guy here. Let me see. Let me check here. No. This is another one. Okay. The Daniel Smith is the one that is has been attacked because of this MMS stuff. Now, he is wearing an ankle bracelet. He's under what you'd consider house arrest because of MMS. That is not the same as the original story here of the Stanley family, who this very much to me seems like colloidal silver. But and they took their 7 kids away. They've been gone, had them gone now for I don't know, several days. So there's an update here, and this is on the Bring the Stanley Kids Home Facebook page. And it says, praise God, this morning we got the news a local well-known lawyer who deals with family cases has taken their case free of charge. Also, a national news group is going to run the story. Several radio stations want to do radio interviews. They're also reporting on the Facebook page that the children, all who have been homeschooled their entire lives, have now been put into public schools. What do you do, guys? What do you do? Do you fight? In this instance, it may not be the smartest thing. They have arrested the man and the woman. Apparently, the kids are in home in public school now. The time, that awkward stage that we talk about all the time, it's just about over. It's that awkward stage, as I've mentioned numerous times over the last few years on this show. It's that awkward stage that Claire Wolf says it is too late to work within the system, too early to shoot the bastards. And I think we are just about to exit that awkward stage. They're pushing us awfully hard. And there'll be people that are... we've already seen the attack on homeschoolers over and over again. We've seen the attack on people that use perfectly safe and legal supplements. I think the reason that they're saying it's a mineral supplement and not colloidal silver, because they're going to look up and find that an old FDA ruling back years ago has said that it is, that colloidal silver is safe and approved by the FDA. However, I think they are really, really wishing they hadn't have said that. And I think they would rather call it a mineral supplement than say colloidal silver and get everybody up in arms and behind these people. So, with the various attacks that we're seeing, gun owners, Christians in general in some regards, homeschoolers, the people that are trying, you know, there's how many stories did we do? There's not anybody in the chat room right now that would remember, but if C7 was here, he might remember. If DB Sweetwood was here, he might remember. If Casper was here, he might remember. They've been with me for years and years and years. How many stories have we done over the years where kids have been stopped and fined for having a lemonade stand because they didn't have a business license? Does anybody remember the one where the basketball goal was confiscated? They come and took a loader and took one of those portable basketball goals, loaded it up in a dump truck, and hauled it off because it was sitting out on the city sidewalk. There's just no, there's no end to what these people will do to try to discredit, destroy our way of life here. So, the, B2, if I knew the answer to that question, honey, I would be a very, very wealthy man. B2 says, when do you stand? When do you fight? What's it going to look like? Do you allow these things to happen? Okay. If there are, hold on a minute, I have breaking news. Oh, no, not yet. Remind me about that.
I'll just remind you.
Okay, thank you. When do you fight? Obviously, if there's 13 carloads of cops sitting out there and your 7 children are in the house and at risk, that is not the time to fight. At least not for me. You've got a bunch of little kids in there and, a unknown number of guns and bullets blazing through that. You are not possibly going to even hold them off long enough to get reinforcements coming, even if you had, folks on your own street. Now, depending on where you live and how many older children you have and how long it'll take you to get, reinforcements to come in behind them or something, maybe it would be different in some circumstances. But that was in Hopper, that was in Arkansas that we were talking about that. So I don't know what to tell you. And B2, we hope for sure that if we live righteous lives, that the Lord will give us the strength and the wisdom to know what to do and when to do it during these tumultuous times, as they call it. So we'll see what happens. Okay, let me tell you another little story here real quick. It's about quitting time. But let me tell you another little story. The mindset of people that the mindset of the people that are making some of these rules, let me tell you where they come from. This is keep that on your mind just for a second. Hold that thought real quick. If someone would have started back Ruby Ridge, Waco, some of these places like that. And I've told you this before. We all sat around on TV and cheered them on, saying, "Okay, yeah, they had all this illegal stuff going on and everything, and we just cheered them on." When there probably, if there would have been some action taken during that time, we might could have turned that around. But anyway, let's get to this other story, and then we gotta head out here. This is the type of people that are making these kinds of laws. This is the mindset of you. This was in England, which I can tell you right now, that's something wrong with this story already. But this kid, 5 years old, his name's Alex Nash. 5 years old, invited to a friend's birthday party. They were going skiing and snowboarding at a facility up there. And the parents of Alex responded to the invitation and said, "Great, yeah, he'll be there." Well, after that, they'd realized that they had some other things they had to do and could not attend the party. And the dad said that they didn't have any contact information for the people and let them know. Now, in the other people's defense, I don't know how far away they lived, but, couldn't you just drive over there and tell them? If you're going to a birthday party, I'm thinking it couldn't have been that damn far away. But anyway, they said they didn't have any contact information and to tell them that Alex wasn't going to be able to be there. A few days later, Alex, are you listening to this? Check this out. A few days later, Alex came home from school with an invoice from the birthday boy's mother for $24 It was called a child's party no-show fee. And the parents thought surely this was a joke. The birthday boy's mother apparently threatened to take him to small claims court. Says the parents are trying to resolve this via Facebook. And the birthday boy's parents haven't commented publicly yet. Okay, well, I don't know about y'all. I've been sent bills by a hell of a lot more powerful people than a birthday boy's mother for stupid stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would write in big letters on there. I don't know. I'd find something clever to say, you know, paid in full or I don't know. But anyway, whatever the case may be, there is no chance in hell. I would spend $10,000 not to pay that $24 if that's what it came to. That's just insane. There's no way. I can't even believe that somebody would do that. So, I would just... I would get on Facebook and I would be writing LOL all day long with these people. I mean, that's nuts. But the thing that the thing about this story that I think is more relevant is just the mindset of the people. Yeah, it's a stupid thing to do, and we laugh at it and say, oh, that's dumb, I wouldn't pay it. You know, there's no contract, there's no nothing, you know, go pound sand. Oh, sorry, pound sand, I didn't know you were in there. But anyway, the deal is the mindset. How does someone even arrive at that conclusion? How would you even think that you would send the neighbor kid a bill saying, you didn't show up at my son's birthday party. You owe us $24. Please. If you are that lame lukewarm of a friend, then over $24? You know, I could see if you'd spent, you know, $500 or $1,000, say, look, guys, you know, this was a big deal for us. We spent a lot of money. You know, could you help us out a little bit with getting some of it back? You didn't show up. But a bill for $24? Unbelievable. All right. Well, I've had all the fun I can stand tonight, so I think I'm going to ease on out of here, and we'll be back in here tomorrow. Same time, same place. We'll be here with Miss Amy, obviously. And she's feeling better, all chipper now, so we'll see you then. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.